You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We have the Word first, and then we have America's Day of Repentance. The only hope we've got is 2 Chronicles 7:14. Take a plane, take a train, take a donkey. You are accountable to pray this and believe it. And that's what we're doing. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. The sacred secret. The sacred secret. Now, we learned last time that Jesus said in Mark 4, if you do not understand the parable Jesus teaches you in Matthew 13, you will never understand anything at all about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Or you'll be saved, but you go around, duh. So we taught it very clearly. And we learned that the forbidden fruit in the garden was a metaphor, a figure of speech. It was not an apple. Everyone say it was not an apple. It was a metaphor for a seduction that took place. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, that's a metaphor too. He's sometimes called a snake, that's a metaphor too. He's an angel, he's a cherub, he's a devil. He wholly seduced Eve. Paul says beguiled, exopatio Greek, wholly seduced. And the product was a child of the devil. And his name was Cain. So we learned that the devil has children on the earth, the descendants of Cain, and God has children. And that's what's causing the conflict. See, you thought it was people. The devil has children, and they are the ones who are destroying America and the world right now. And you need to know the difference. If you don't know that, you don't know anything at all about what God is all about. Now, we learned that in Matthew 13, Jesus taught us seven parables. A parable is a story to illustrate a spiritual truth. So Jesus continues teaching a parable.
Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field.
Now, we learned last week when Jesus was teaching us of the wheat and the tares, the wheat of the children of God, the tares of the Zawan, the children of the devil. He told us that the field is the world, okay? It's a metaphor. What is the treasure? The treasure is the truth, T-R-U-T-H. John 17, 17, thy word is true. It is hid in the world. The seduction in the garden is known by very few Christians. It's a truth. It's hidden. But now we know it.
Which when a man had found, he hideth.
Now he doesn't hide it so other people don't know it. Thy word if I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He says, oh, now I see. Now understand why we're here on this mud ball. And now I know why I'm here. It wasn't about to be popularity or pretty or money or fun or houses or lands or jobs. Now I know.
And for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field.
When you have learned the real truth, I don't mean word verse of 3 points. I mean you know now why we are all here. If you are a real Christian, you will give everything you have to seek the truth. King David told his son Solomon, he said, "Son, if you will seek the Lord, who is the truth, with all your heart, you will find him." See, if you were real, you wouldn't just seek him on Sunday. You'd seek him on Wednesday. You would give all that you have because that's all that matters.
Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls.
Now, this is a man who has a jewelry business like our Tony there. He knows the difference between good pearls and fake pearls and bad pearls.
Verse 46. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price...
Whoa, this is the real thing. Now, Jesus is the Word. The Word is truth, and truth is reality. See, most of what you hear, see, think, and believe is just a facade. Go to God's Word, and that's the reality.
Went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Again, if you really know the parable of the wheat and tares, which he taught, you would seek God. You would seek truth. You would seek him. And when you seek him with all your heart, you would find him. And that would be what you would do. You seek first the kingdom of God. Like a deer pants after a water brook, you would seek after him. It would not be your fun, yourself, your video games, your greed, your money. You would be seeking God, for that's all that matters.
Amen.
47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea.
Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, says the sea, which is the water, is a metaphor for the people. So, God himself is now casting a net into the sea of people on planet Earth. Wonder what he's going to catch. Wheat, tares, children of the devil, or children of God? Which are you?
And gathered of every kind. 48. Which, when it was full, they drew to shore.
Judgment Day.
And sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Verse 40.
He separates the wheat from the chaff, and this is what he's going to do. Right now, the wheat and the tares are kind of growing up together. We've got the devil's children on planet Earth, and boy, are they busy. Well, we've got God's children, and they are not sick at all. They only seek on Sunday. They don't seek on Wednesday. See, that's not enough. That's not good enough. To whom much is given, much is required. In other words, on Judgment Day, then he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. See, some people who say they're Christian are not Christian, because if you were Christian, you would seek him with all your heart.
Dying. So shall it be at the end of the world.
The world there is a Greek word, eon, which means age. Okay, we have learned that there are 3 earth and heaven ages. Same planet, same heaven, 3 dispensations of time. It was the first earth age where we're all with God in a spirit body. When you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. And it was there that Lucifer said, "I will be God," and brought sin into the equation. So God got upset because 1/3 of God's children, some of you, follow the devil, 1/3 fought for God. So he said, "I'm going to send all of you one time in the flesh, the second earth age," and here we are, the second earth age. You're here to choose Jesus or to choose the devil and then to sow the truth. Now, this one's about to come to an end. We learn that we are the generation of the fig tree. We are the generation, be we 5 or 125, who will usher in the second coming of Jesus. But before that happens, the fake Christ will come, the Antichrist. He's about to come. He is instead of Christ. He's the devil pretending to be Jesus. He's coming in the sky saying peace and safety, and he's going to cause craft to prosper. And the whole world will go over him and half the body of Christ, because you did not sell all you had to find the good treasure. But then we're going to find that when Jesus comes, the devil's time as Jesus has been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13, to 5 months, Revelation 9. Then the seventh trumpet sounds and Jesus comes, the real Jesus. And at that time, in Zechariah and 1 Corinthians 15, 52, all of us on planet Earth, saved and lost alike, the devil's children, the tares, and God's children, the wheat, are going to step into our spirit body. And there's going to be teaching for a day of the Lord, which is 1,000 years during that time. Nobody's flying in the air. You're right here. Jesus is here. The elect with teaching, Jesus. And then there comes the great white throne judgment. And that's when God separates the wheat from the tares. And then the lake of the fire, that's the end of the second earth age.
Angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just.
The great white throne judgment will all be there.
Verse 50. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
The lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But very sadly, many people who went to church today who say, I love Jesus, because you've not sought the kingdom, you've not sought the truth, the treasure in the field. You think the first one coming is Jesus because he's going to look like him, act like him. They're telling you that. You're also going to walk into the lake of fire. People will cry, oh my God, I could have been saved. I could have had eternal life. But then it's too late. But right now, it's not too late. On this radio, air, cyberspace, I'm going to pray the prayer of salvation. But when we're off the air, for those of you live, I'm going to give an invitation. And now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Nothing else matters except, first of all, you're saved, and secondly, that you're totally dedicated, that from now on in, all you do is seek the kingdom of God, the truth, the treasure in the field.
Amen. 51. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these sayings?
Jesus asked the disciples, do you understand the parable, the wheat and the tares? Are you still going around and saying, duh?
They said unto him, yea, Lord. 52.
They said, yes, Lord. And obviously they did, because one of those disciples is Matthew. And boy, has he taught us the truth. We have found the truth, and the truth sets us free.
Amen.
Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven.
A scribe is an orator. A scribe is one who speaks the word of God, either to one more person, or two people, or in a pulpit. You are supposed to be a scribe. Every Christian under the sound of my voice, you're an orator, you're a scribe. When you visit the sick, you don't say, poor you, can I get your drink of water? You do that. But you tell them the story, you tell them the truth, you tell your friends at school the parable of the wheat and tares, because see, that's the secret, that's the sacred secret. We're all called to be scribes. Go and tell.
Is likened to a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things that are new and things old.
You're a Christian. You have a household of treasure, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. And because you're a scribe, an orator, everybody you meet, you open up the old. You tell of the first earth age, Isaiah 14, when Lucifer rebelled. Revelation 12, how we all were there. And one third of God's children, maybe you, followed Satan. One third was lukewarm, sat like a knot on a log, do nothing. One third fought for God. And then you tell how God sent us one time in the flesh in the second earth age. And then you tell that person you're visiting who's sick, you tell them of the seduction in the garden, that the devil has children. And probably that's why they're suffering. You must go and tell the Old Testament. And then you bring them in the New Testament. And you say, God so loved us all that he sent his son. And Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, came and paid our sin, and he died on the cross. He shed his blood for the remission of our sin. Jesus arose from the dead. And then you tell them the order of the trumps, the parable of the wheat and tares, and how the Antichrist is about to appear. And the whole world will think it's Jesus and have the body of Christ, Matthew 25. And then you tell them of Jesus coming out of the millennium age, where there will be teaching and we'll all be in our flesh bodies. And you tell them the great white throne judgment, and you tell them the lake of fire. And then you tell them of the third heaven and earth age, Revelation 21. After all evil is gone, God rejuvenates this earth. He brings the heaven of Jerusalem down here, and heaven is on earth. You're a scribe. That is your assignment. Go and tell, old and new. Not one verse, not 3 points. You have heard. To whom heard has heard much, much is required of you.
53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence.
He left.
54. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogues.
He goes to all the churches and speaks the truth. The three earth and heaven ages, the parable of the wheat and tares. The devil has children. God has children. Do you know the difference? They often come to church. They look alike, but there's a difference. You shall know them by their fruits.
Insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom?
This is a man in the flesh. Where did he get this wisdom? Now we know they don't know Proverbs 8. Wisdom said, I was with God from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, that's God the Father. And the Word was with God, that's God the Son, but he left and came to earth. And the Word was God, that's the Holy Spirit. And God is all wisdom.
And doeth mighty works.
Miracles.
55. Is not this the carpenter's son?
Now they say this a little bit snarkily, because they thought Mary and Joseph committed hanky-panky and got together before Jesus' birth. Not so. No, Jesus is not the carpenter's son. Holy Spirit came on the Virgin Mary, and Jesus plopped down in her womb. Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Is not his mother called Mary?
I know she says she was a virgin, but you know she and Joseph got together. No. The Virgin Mary is his mother.
And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? 56. And his sisters, are they not all with us?
Now, Mary and Joseph never knew each other as man and wife until Jesus was born. But once Jesus was born, and he's the Son of God, then Mary and Joseph got together. And they had sons and they had daughters. They were Jesus' half-brothers and Jesus' half-sisters. One of them's name is James. He wrote the book of James. One of them is Judas or Jude. He wrote the great book of Jude just before Revelation. But did you know that Jesus' half-brothers and sisters did not believe he was the Messiah until after his resurrection? And we're going to find out why. In other words, we know Mary and Joseph and Jesus. They grew up with them. Where did they get this wisdom? They're just ordinary people.
57. And they were offended at him.
Who do you think you are, Jesus, thinking you're somebody?
But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house.
Familiarity breeds contempt. Be very careful in your family. It would have been so much easier for Jesus growing up if his brothers and sisters, half-brothers and sisters, would have known his mission. Sometimes we're in a family, we love them, but they have no idea of the calling, and they don't make it easy. Do not take your family for granted. Just because the dirty socks and the dirty linen on the bed and the hair needs washing, don't forget that everybody in your family was sent from God with a purpose. Everybody's got a purpose. Now, not everybody's chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Wouldn't it be easy if you recognized in your family, maybe there's just one in there that's called of God? How much easier it would be. Don't pet them, don't spoil them, but if you prayed extra hard for them, remember that son, that daughter, that mother, that father, that brother, that sister was sent from God, and everybody has a purpose.
Yeah. Verse 58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
Jesus could have, because he's omnipotent, he has unlimited power. But Jesus and God operate on faith, and they did not believe, so they don't get the miracles. You want a miracle? Believe.
Matthew chapter 14, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart. You have enough and to share, to give and to spare.
Amen.
You have enough and to share, to give and to spare.
Amen. Amen.
At that time, Herod the patriarch heard of the fame of Jesus.
Patriarch means that King Herod was in charge of a fourth of the kingdom. Now he heard how famous Jesus was. He's not a good king. He's a heathen.
Verse 2. And he said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead.
Now, wait a minute. The last time you and I heard of John the Baptist, he was in prison. And he sent to Jesus, his disciples, and said, John the Baptist wants to know, is this the one or is there another? In other words, is this the first advent Jesus or is this the second? But now we hear he's dead. What happened?
And therefore doth mighty works show forth themselves in him.
So he thinks, Herod thinks, that this is John the Baptist raised from the dead.
For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison.
He put him in prison, okay, why?
For Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife.
Oh, Herod had taken his brother Philip's wife. Her name was Herodias. That's not right. That's adultery.
Verse 4. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her.
John the Baptist said, you're in sin, Herod. You're not supposed to do that.
5. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet.
Herod would have killed John right then, but the people loved John, so for the crowd's sake, he didn't do it.
Verse 6. But when Herod's birthday was kept.
Oh, going to have a birthday party for Herod. Wine, women, and song.
The daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod.
Now, obviously, Herodias was very beautiful, and now she's got a young daughter who's very beautiful. This is not a kiddie dance. This is not a jumping rope dance. This is a belly seductive dance by a very young girl. Ooh.
Verse 7. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask.
He was so enamored of her, he's a little bit half drunk. What do you want, Herodias' daughter? I'll give you half of my kingdom.
Verse 8. And she, being instructed before by her mother.
Her mother told her what to ask for.
Said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger.
Here means, King Herod, give me right now while I'm standing here, half naked, and I want you to go and behead John the Baptist, bring it back to me on a silver charger. charger, and I'll probably dance for you some more right now.
Verse 9. And the king was sorry.
He actually liked John the Baptist. He knew he was a prophet. He didn't want to kill him.
Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and that which sat with him at meat.
In other words, when the king says he's going to do something, he keeps his word. When you give your word, keep your word.
He commanded it to be given her. Verse 10. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother.
Happy birthday.
Verse 12. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it.
John's disciples came and got the body out of the prison, but he had no head. Wonder what Herodias did with that head.
And went and told Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, your cousin John is dead. He's been beheaded. Jesus and John the Baptist in the flesh were cousins. John the Baptist's mother was Elizabeth, married to Zechariah the priest, and Jesus' mother was Mary. Mary and Elizabeth were first cousins, their mothers were sisters. So John the Baptist and Jesus were second cousins, and besides, Jesus is God, and knew that John the Baptist was Elijah anointed there. And so Jesus now has a broken heart. Jesus cries. Jesus is not a high priest that does not understand your grief. He's going to cry. He's got a broken heart.
13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart.
He would often say to his disciples, come apart and rest a while. When your heart is broken, when life's too hard for you, come apart and find Jesus. He is lowly and meek, and you will find rest to your soul. He will heal your broken heart. You can cry before him. He'll wipe away your tears. Come apart and rest a while.
And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities.
The multitudes had broken hearts, broken lives, broken bodies. They were grieving, so they wanted Jesus to heal them. So they ran around the lake and met him on the desert other side. They were brokenhearted too. The world is full of broken hearts.
14. And Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them.
You're no good for God until you're broken. Amen. Jesus says you follow this stone and you'll be broken. See, the only reason I cry when you cry is I have been broken to smithereens. See, when you don't know trouble, you don't know a broken heart, you're so full of yourself, your videos, your fun, your popularity, your money, you don't feel what other people feel. And you're no good until you have a broken heart. The man who created the Crystal Cathedral, Pastor Robert Shuler, had children. It was time for his oldest son to join him in the ministry. But he said, son, you're going to have your heart broken so Jesus can use you. Because then you'll cry with those who cry. And sure enough, the son got married. And his beautiful teenage daughter, all blonde and blue-eyed and gorgeous, was in an accident and lost her whole leg. His heart was broken. You're no good until your heart is broken. I pray that you do not curse the brokenness. Of all the good things God has done for me, my greatest blessing is that most of my life I have been broken to smithereens. And only you, until you are broken, are you any good for his glory.
Amen. Amen.
You're whole. You're so full of yourself. Break. Break, break.
And he healed their sick.
He healed their broken hearts, their sin-sick souls.
Verse 15. And when it was even, his disciples came unto him, saying,
It's sundown now out there in the desert. Thousands of people are there.
This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.
They need some food. We don't have no hamburger stand, no 7-Elevens out here. They're hungry.
16. Then Jesus said unto them, They need not depart.
No, they are learning why they're on this planet. They are hearing the word of God. Don't send them away.
Give ye them to eat.
You feed them. You feed them. You feed them. What? The parable of the wheat and tares. The mystery of God. The sacred secret.
17. And I said unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Jesus, I know you're God, but sometimes you don't understand. A little boy gave us his lunch. It's 5 little tiny biscuits and 2 fishes. That's not enough for one person. We don't have enough, Jesus.
18. He said, Bring them hither to me.
Bring me what you have. What you have in your hand is not enough. Give it to Jesus. When Elijah was a prophet alive on earth, before he came back as John the Baptist, he was hungry. There was a famine. God said, Go to Zarephath. There's a widow there, and she's only got enough flour to make 1 biscuit and enough oil to make it. And she's got a son. She's going to make that biscuit, and then she's going to die. Go and tell her to give you that biscuit. So Elijah finds the widow of Zarephath gathering sticks. She says, I'm going to make a little fire. I'm going to take my last flour and oil. I'm going to make a biscuit. I'm going to break it in half. And I'm going to give it to my son, myself. We're going to eat. And then we're going to die. The man of God said, Bring it to me. It's not enough. Give me that. You know what happened? She always had enough flour. She always had enough oil. Every time she went to make another biscuit, another cake, there was enough flour. There was enough oil. Some of you never have enough money, even when people give it to you. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may meet mine house, and prove me how. Now herewith saith the Lord, if I would not open you the windows of heaven, I will pour you out a blessing. You don't have enough room to receive it. 2 Corinthians 9, that was Malachi 3:10. 2 Corinthians 9, he gives bread to the sower, and gives bread, he gives seed to the sower, and gives bread to the sower, and multiplies your seed sown. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, God calls men to give into your bosom. Whatever we sow comes back multiplied.
Yep,
give love, give truth, give money. I built my school. It's a legal license building with $45.
Amen.
All business owners stop. No, they don't stop there. It's money, 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 honey. But I tithe, and every time I tithe, I added some more. And I have always had enough flour. I've always had enough oil. I have enough to share to give it to spare. Give it to Jesus. You have enough to share to give it to spare.
Amen.
19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass.
Other gospels say to sit down in 50s. 50s in Hebrew is jubilee, freedom. Divine order. Anything that's out of order is the devil. In your body, in your family, in your workplace, in your money. When your money's out of order, the devil is there. You're not giving it to Jesus. When your body's out of order, you're not knowing that with Jesus' stripes you're healed. When your love's out of order, you don't know that you give love to get love. Everything in order.
And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven,
to God the Father, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the owner of the universe.
He blessed and break.
When you bless, you thank, thanksgiving increases.
And gave the loaves to his disciples.
Here, Peter, here's a biscuit. Here, John, here's a biscuit. Here, Andrew, here's a fish. Here, Bartholomew, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2 fishes. Wait a minute. He just keeps on giving. He keeps on giving. He gives and he gives and he gives again.
And the disciples to the multitudes.
Look at that. The flour never runs dry. Give to God, and you will never, ever lack.
Verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled.
I bet their tummies were puffed up. I bet they wish Sarah was there with her Tone the Chapel poem. Out, out, belly fat. My stomach is healthy, firm and flat. Remember that?
And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full.
12 is a number of God's government, 12 tribes of Israel. If you will surrender your all, God will feed you the bread of heaven forevermore. The word shall endure forever, and that word will always fill you. Revelation 22, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. No more boredom, no more lack, no more pain, no more hunger. God has sufficient to feed you now and forever. He is all that.
Amen. 21, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children.
Now, when we get to Matthew 16, we're going to talk about the fragments. Because anytime you've got a crowd, the wheat children are there, God's children. But the tares are going to come in, and they're going to try to fragment the truth. 5,000 men. Let's just say half of those men were married. In Bible times, they thought they were rich. The more children they had, the more blessed they were. But let's just say conservatively, they only had 2 children. That's a lot of people. And everybody got filled. You have enough and to share, to give and to spare. But first of all, give the sacred secret. Give, and it, what you give shall be given unto you. I pray you are blessed.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
You're very enthusiastic.
Amen.
At this time, I'm going to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. That was a great word tonight. Great word.
Great word.
Awesome, awesome
if
word.
If only everyone would get it and do it, the
Amen.
World would change.
Yes.
The world
yes,
would change in 3 weeks.
Amen.
Well, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Mark 12:30.
Absolutely. Seek first the kingdom of God. Thank you, Scott. That
Amen.
Is so great.
Thank you, Miss Sherry.
In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, if you're not saved, pray this prayer. We're coming to the end. If you are going to love God, or if you're going to serve Him, you don't have any time to do video games anymore. You're supposed to be telling the story.
Yeah.
Pray this prayer with me, and God will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
And wash my sins away.
And wash my sins away.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
The precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize and fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize and fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To tell the true story of Jesus.
To tell the true story of Jesus.
To increase God's kingdom on earth.
To increase God's kingdom on earth.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Confession is made into salvation. For those of you out in cyberspace, we're supposed to tell someone. I invite you to call me and leave that message on my voicemail. You get my number in a little bit and tell me. Now we're going to pray for the sick. I feel led today to pray for people who are in physical pain. Somewhere in your body, you are in extreme pain. Let me tell you that the Bible says Jesus bore your pain. Jesus bore your pain. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, according to Malachi chapter 4, you promise that for those who fear your name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in your wings. The Son of Righteousness is Jesus who bore our pains. The wings are his laser beams of light. So, O Lord Jesus, Son of Righteousness, where that pain is, you bore the pain. So let the pain be gone in Jesus' name. Relieve them from all this distress. Comfort them on every side. Bring peace. Bring peace. Bring peace in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing is given to you to keep. Go and tell. Go and sow. And God will give you some more. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Yep. So you can live with me in joy throughout all eternity. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
calling Christians
the
to worship
trumpet
and the study of God's
truth.
Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
I will. You're my delight, my everything, and I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord, and I will bow down before you, only you, Lord, and I will worship.
Open up the heavens, we wanna see you. That's what this song talks about. Every breath that we breathe, every moment in our history, an effort to praise Him.
I wish I could crash like the waves, or turn like the autumn leaves, an effort to praise You. I wish I could smell like the forest, the fragrance lifting the mighty chorus, an effort to praise You, an effort to praise You. But I'm such a limited creature, and my words can only paint so many pictures. But somewhere I think I read that I am treasured over all creation. So I know that I must try. I wish I could roll like the thunder, glow in wonder, an effort to praise You. I wish I could fall like the summer rain, and every drop would sing Your name, an effort to praise You, an effort to praise You. But I'm such a limited creature, and my words can only paint so many pictures. But somewhere I'm sure I read that I am treasured over all creation. So I know that I must try. I'm
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
In a world that stands divided, I have decided. In a world that stands divided, I have decided. With my hand. If you're with me, let me hear you say,
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Many of us have one more member of our family than we know about, and that is the evil one who makes himself at home.
Dr. Tony Evans says evicting the devil is ultimately a father's responsibility.
Our job as parents is to escort the children into the future. That means learning what it means to lead as a man.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. More and more children are growing up without both parents in the home these days. And Dr. Evans says many of the issues we are experiencing in our society can be traced back to that problem. Let's join him as he talks about what we can do to change direction.
The saga of a nation is the saga of its families written large. When the family breaks down, everything that's supposed to be built on that sacred foundation crumbles with it. And so we are now reaping the devastation of family disintegration. And now we're living in a day when it's normal not to have a nuclear family as it was created to be. It's abnormal to see one. It's not normal anymore, the norm to see husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. Whole ministries have to now be reconstructed to deal with this reality that we're having to face. And we must deal with it while at the same time trying to get back to what God had in mind. We're living in the day of the adultification of children. When now children are raising parents rather than parents raising children. It reminds me of the lady who was in the grocery store and she had a little girl with her and she said very sternly, "Suzanne, stop it. Suzanne, did you hear what I said? I said, stop it. Suzanne, listen to me. I said, stop it." Well, the proprietor of the store was quite impressed that he was seeing a mother speaking in disciplinary terms. So he came to the little girl and he patted her on the hand and he said, "So your name's Suzanne?" The mother said, "No, my name's Suzanne, that's Betty. I'm trying to control myself." Because we're living in a day when